Welcome to the HR Business Blueprint Podcast. I'm Nikki Masterman, founder and CEO of Inspired HR. In this series, alongside my fabulous guests, we will be chatting about becoming a consultant and building a HR business. In this episode, I am joined by Neil Giller, also known as The Real Neil. Neil is a coach, an international public speaker for people who want a no bullshit, inspiration, accountability, and results, and is one of my favourite human beings. Welcome, Neil Giller.
Do you know what? That sounded really good. Where did you get that from? That was really...
I think that might have been your new website.
No.
Yeah. Sorry,
did you say I got a new website, did you?
NeilGiller.com. I did.
Okay, thanks. TheRealNeil.com, yeah? Thanks.
That's TheRealNeil.com.
Exactly. Do you know what? I was laughing and joking with someone the other day. Lucky my name's Neil, eh?
Just a bit, yeah.
I mean, could you imagine if it was Bob, the real Bob? This ain't got the ring to it, has it? Seriously. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. Thank you for welcoming me. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for having me. And I'll put a little bit on the end here. Reason being is no one else will, but thank you for having me. I really appreciate it, Nikki. Thank you.
Do you know what, Neil? It's actually my privilege and pleasure to have you on here with me because I absolutely love you to bits. You know that. I've known you. God, how many years have I been in business? 8-9 years.
Too long.
I'm showing my age, aren't I?
Back at you, Nikki. You're one of life's good human beings. And you know what? You surround yourself with good human beings, you'll get what you need.
We do. And we're going to touch on that, actually, because obviously I'm going to be touching on your drains and radiators today, which was a real game changer for me when I heard that. Now, for anyone who hasn't met you, Neil, you really are the real Neil. And I want this conversation to be a real Neil conversation. So for anyone listening, there's going to be a lot of laughter. There's going to be a lot of smiles. There's going to be a lot of giggling. And there might be some swearing because you're the only person I know that swears more than me. So if you offend easily, this may not be the episode for you.
Yeah, if you're offended, fuck off now. Thank you very much. Sorry. And we're off.
And we're off. And it begins.
2 minutes in and there was the first F-bomb. There you go. Fantastic.
So I have warned our listeners, so be warned. Okay. Neil, I love you to bits and I know lots about you, but tell our listeners about you. Tell me about your background and how you have got here today.
Thank you. Again, thank you very much. I really appreciate people that are willing to have me on their podcasts. And I've done quite a few of these. Let me just tell you that I feel really comfortable because you're a good human being. So thank you very much again for inviting me. Very, very quick synopsis. I was shit at school. School and I didn't get on. They tried to get rid of me, but I was like a sticky bogey. I wouldn't go. Finally, in the end, at the age of 15, they kicked me out. I went home. It'll give you an idea about my parents who are my gurus. I walked in and my father wasn't back from work yet, but my mother was, you wait until your father gets home. My father walked home. It was a Thursday and he said to me, right, tomorrow morning, he was a black taxi driver, get in the back of the cab and I'm taking you down to Hatton Garden where they make jewellery and you're not coming home until you've got a job. So that's the kind of background that I'm from. So I'm very, very fortunate that my parents have always allowed me to be me. Okay. I might not have fit into whatever box it was. I was always a bit of a rebel, so I found my job straight away, came back on Thursday evening, started on Saturday. I actually got offered 3 jobs. The first job that I did was running jewellery. So when I say running jewellery, they're called runners. So if something needed to be taken that was made down to the Hallmark office in Fetter Lane, I used to run that. So I'd be running around with hundreds of thousands of pounds of jewellery on me. Little 15, 16-year-old kid. No one knew that I was running around with it. So that was a good start. Then went into sales, which I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed. I had one of the biggest arsehole managers that God ever put breath into. He didn't teach me, well, he probably did teach me how to be an arsehole, but he taught me how to sell. But more importantly, he taught me how to kind of mirror the people that are in front of you. Yeah, understand that everyone's different. I think the old terminology of never judge a book by its cover. So that was my beginning. And then like every good Jewish mother, when they tell you to do something, you do it. So a very quick synopsis. My mother started something called a mailing house, which was like print, putting pieces of paper into envelopes through letterboxes. So she seconded myself at the age of 17. My brother, who was working in Savile Row making shirts at the age of 18. And my father was told that he could no longer be on the cab. So there was four of us that started this business from a little 75 square foot room. We ended up probably 8,000 square foot, 50 odd staff, 400 clients, dealing with all the local authorities, where we were doing all of their print for them, all of their distribution for them, enveloping door to door. It was a cracking business, an absolutely cracking business. So retired dad very quickly, retired mum even quicker. And then that left me in charge. So there was me in charge dealing with everything front of house. And my brother, bless him, love him with bits and pieces, he was dealing with everything behind the scenes. Only reason being is he swears more than I do. So
is that even possible?
We had to keep him out the firing line. We had to, well, you know, listen. Yeah, it is. But he wasn't a customer-facing kind of guy. So I dealt with all the cuddling, all the liaisons, all the quoting, all the making sure that client was coming on board and being looked after. And he dealt with all the mechanics behind it, i.e. getting the envelopes, putting it into, enveloping it up, making sure it went out on time, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we did this for about 24 years, 25 years. And I'll always remember the day. Before I carry on, I'm a massive mental health advocate, Nikki. And this is where I go a little bit serious. There are so many people out there that need to hear messages that, and I'm not being aloof, that I put out on a daily basis. Yeah.
And I see them. I remember your walks during the pandemic, going for the walks and getting out in the air and doing those live streams.
Just look after yourself. We're so busy looking after everyone else that we've got to look after ourselves. Going back to the story, I was just about to go and sign a massive contract with quite a large company. And I turned around and my brother, who suffers with depression and mental health, has done since he was younger, he'd come to the end. And he was on the floor in a fetal position. I was of the volition, come on, Ian, up you get. Come on, stiff upper lip kind of thing. Hastened to add, I phoned mum. Mum came and got him. I went and got the gig and we ended up sectioning my brother. Now, if you've never had to section anyone, it's one of the worst things you have to do for a loved one. It's heartbreaking because the person that you're sectioning probably doesn't think you're doing the best thing at that time. But you know that at that precise time, it's the right thing to be done. So that was in the September of 2017, right at the beginning. Our busy time was September, October, November and December up until the 17th, 18th, when the post went out. And I tried to get through. I was fortunate I had a couple of good PAs, I had good supervisor and good clients. But the black dog came and visited me on the 2nd of December, 2017. And for those who don't understand what the black dog is, it's a terminology for depression.
Yeah.
Go and Google it. There's a lovely little video out there that explains what the black dog is. You've either got a choice. You can allow that black dog to hound you or you can give it a cuddle and listen to it. So there's only 3 days that I've never wanted to be on this earth, Nikki. And those preceding 3 days were those 3 days. Fortunate, my ex-wife, who I still get on very well with, my mum, who I get on even better with, grabbed hold of me and took me to the doctors. Well, the doctor only did one thing. You guessed it. Put some pills down your throat and sent you away. Go on. Yeah. Off you go. Tick. 3 days later, I was back running the business. Broken. Absolutely broken. I don't know. I have no recollection from the time of the 2nd of December up until the Christmas break. Everything was a blur, Nikki. It was probably one of the most, well, it was the most difficult time of my life because I didn't have my brother, I didn't have my mate, I didn't have my soulmate, didn't have my business partner, couldn't bounce anything off of him. And it just hit me. Had a Christmas break, very close to mum and dad. And I phoned mum up after going in on the 2nd and I went, that's it, I'm done. And mum turned around and said to me, I'll always remember these words, babe, whatever you want to do, we're behind you. So by the 1st of April 2018, and there was a reason for the 1st of April 2018, I put the key in the door and that was it, the end of the mailing house after 26 years.
Wow.
Feeling battered, bruised, lonely, defeated, and whatever negative connotation you want to put to it, tick, 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 tick. Took me a while to build myself back up again. went and ran a region for a very large networking organization, mm-hmm. where Hasten to Add, I smashed it, took it over from a guy that I named Mr. Grey, even before Mr. Grey. I think it was 75 Shades of Grey. I mean, give you an idea, the first training I did up there, I said, right, okay, if someone gives you a referral or finds you business, I want you to give them a hug. And there was this lady at the front that put her hand up. And she went, Neil, can I just say something? I went, yeah, yeah. She went, we've been told not to hug people by your predecessor. And I was like, nah, not on my watch. So we did very, very well there. That came to an end. But whilst I was doing that, I found that I was mentoring. I didn't even know it, Nikki. I was mentoring all the people that were part of this organisation. I started dealing with a couple of people. One person turned around and went, you know what? You should be a mentor stroke coach. And I was like, okay. Which brings us all the way up to today. I've now been running, it's now called The Real Neil for 5 years. Mm-hmm. I'm smashing it. And for anyone out there that's like, well, he's a bit aloof, isn't he? Nah, I'm just bigging myself up, because if I wait for someone else to do it, I might wait a while. I'm proud of myself. I'm proud of who I am, where I've come from, and what I've got right now. Mm-hmm. So I hope that answered that question. Quite convoluted, wasn't it? But there you go, you did ask.
No, I've got quite a lot of other questions coming out of the back of that. I think the biggest one for me is I've met you, Neil, and you just blow me away. You've got very similar energy to me, which I absolutely love, and that's why you and I just clicked straight away. And we have a real, you know, I know we've talked about that male in industry, that the world has changed, that the things don't go through the doors like they used to. Just out of curiosity, though, how is your brother? How did you both come out of that period?
Okay, so my brother's still here, moaning as always. but if he wasn't, we'd be worried. how am I? You know what? And I'm fortunate enough that I coach and mentor business owners who find it hard. So if I can turn around and say, look, some days I still find it hard, yeah, but I still put a smile on my face. Mm-hmm. And there's a beautiful saying that I was lent a couple of months ago by a business associate. Good times don't last, but don't worry, neither do bad times, people.
Mm-hmm. It's absolutely true.
So my glass is refillable. It's not half full. It's not half empty. It's refillable, right? I'm fortunate enough that gratitude is an attitude for me, that I wake up every single morning, Nikki. Mm-hmm. After those 3 days that I didn't want to be here, it's a blessing, isn't it? It's a blessing.
Life is a blessing. And I see you talk about yours all the time. And I mean, I follow you on. So for anyone who doesn't follow you on social media, I mean, you're on LinkedIn. You're probably a little bit more straight on LinkedIn, but on Facebook, if they follow you on Facebook, be prepared. That's all I can say. But you make me giggle every day with your very frank, honest posts. And I put them in two fields, because actually I was showing the team here at the podcast studio some of your posts on your Facebook before we come in to record. And I was showing them how you've got two very different streams of, well, three at the moment. You've obviously got one that's very personal and close to your heart. And then you've got one that is around your mental health and supporting yourself and being your own champion, because nobody else is there to do it for you. And then you've got your very sweary frank ones.
Which ones do you prefer?
I love the sweary frank ones in the morning.
Correct answer. I love it when people send me stuff going, oh, you should post this. My reply is, why don't you fucking post it? Because you can get away with it, Giller. That's why. Thanks.
Yeah. And, you know, I do have to find a balance. I mean, for anyone who knows me, the real me, I swear like a trooper. I grew up with four brothers. I swear like a trooper. Yes, I am very professional around my clients, and I'm very professional around the employees and the leaders that we work with, because there is a time and a place, HR. I have to a degree, practice what I preach. But my team are very sweary. I mean, you know, I have a little sign on the back of my computer which says, piss off, I'm busy. you know, and it comes down if I have to bring a client in the office. We have.
I want.
I'll send you one.
Thanks, babes.
So, you know, I remember years ago, I used to teach about when you're busy, just put something on the corner of your desk so people know, or put a teddy or something off your desk. No, I have a little sign that says, piss off, I'm busy. So, yes, don't always practice what I preach, but it's about knowing your audience and everything.
Do you know what? You've just nailed it there, Nikki. It is about knowing your audience. I do a lot of different work. So last week and tomorrow, I find myself in a sixth form. I can't go in there swearing and effing and jeffing.
No.
And as I said to you before we came on here, the last one I did an hour and a half on networking. It was really, really calm. Walked out of the school, got in the car, and it expleted all over the place for the next 15 minutes on the drive home. It was fantastic.
Exactly. I mean, I've got some clients that don't mind that kind of thing. It doesn't mean I'm going to go onto their site and have, you know, all the expletives I want. I might do when I get in the car or when I get home, because I've just been dealing with something that's been extremely frustrating. But like I said, there is that time and the place. You know, I did a talk at a school recently, and I joked to the head teacher that I will have to very much watch my P's and Q's because I'm in a room full of 15-year-olds. So, but you do, it's about your audience, you know, and I've got a couple of team that swear more than me, but we do it in private, we do it behind closed doors, and we sometimes have to let off steam. We're all in very, very stressful jobs.
Amen.
And you talk about tough times. I mean, you talked a minute ago about we all have highs, we all have lows and tough times, the good and the bad times. And you know, and I've been open about this before, I had a couple of tough times around the pandemic where I had to make a number of my team redundant. It wasn't something I enjoyed doing because I had to alter the model to the changing market of HR and needs. And I remember, you know, I have a brilliant business advisor, but I didn't have anyone that kind of gave me that, get your confidence back, get your bum up, get yourself out of bed, get this done, go out. No one's going to do this but you. And you did. And I remember you reached out to me. You picked it up on how quiet I'd been on social media. And you sent me a message and you jumped on a call with me. And I came off there motivated. I was going to do this and I was going to have another, you know, I was going to do this. And do you know what, Neil? I'll always be very grateful for that, because I have turned my business around since we originally talked, and you are my go-to person. You were the person I introduced to people that just need that no bullshit accountability of get up and do it, which is what you're about. You're a brilliant coach. I'm a big advocate for you. You know, we've been in talks about you partnering with us in relation to coaching our clients as well.
A couple of things there. First of all, I'm very humbled by your words. Thank you. I can't make anyone do anything, but what I can do is make sure that I can give them a bit of a nudge. You know, one of my clients said to me a couple of weeks ago, I said, explain what I do for you. Give me a kick up the arse and a cuddle at the same time, Neil. You know, there's a beautiful saying out there. It's by a philosopher called Ram Dass, and it's, we're all just walking each other home.
Wow.
We're all just walking each other home. So if I see anyone that's fallen down, do you know what? What's it going to do for me just to stop and go, come on, let's have a little cuddle. I was playing football a couple of weeks ago. I still drag this body around the football pitch. And one of the boys that I've known for many, many years before the game, he seemed very down. And I walked up to him and I gave him a hug. Are you all right? How are you doing? And he was like, can I borrow 10 minutes of your time afterwards? I was like, yeah, of course you can. 45 minutes after the game, we're still sitting in the back of the car having a conversation. I couldn't let him go until I knew that he was safe. I couldn't let him go until he knew that if he needed anything, I was on the end of the phone. We're all just walking each other home. And I'm glad that I played a part in that, because all of your staff, all of your clients now, there's what it's come to. That's the fruition. So if that little conversation helped you, thank you. I'm really humbled. Thank you.
No, thank you. And it's something I do within my field as well. I'm always happy to help HR consultants at the beginning of their journey. Just, you know, when other someone's, can I speak to someone? Can I steal someone's time? I'm known for that. I'm like you. I have a heart, Neil. And we can't all make it alone. We've got to hold each other up, because actually this being a small business owner is tough. You know, we're tough on ourselves. We do ridiculous hours. People see that we might have a nice holiday or a nice car, but what they don't see is the 80-hour working weeks that we do.
Well, do you know what? It's really strange you should say that. I do a lot of social media. No one knows what house I live in, and no one knows what car I drive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Says it all, really. That's my choice to put up what I want to put up. I don't need to divulge anything. So if anyone wants to look at me and say, oh, he's doing all right for himself, lucky sod. There's no luck in this.
There's no luck in what we do.
There's no luck in this.
Nope. We work right? hard.
This is hard grind. Even when we're sitting there of an evening not doing anything, we're still doing something.
Yeah, I'm never off my phone. I've always got my phone in my hand normally. So, Neil, I've got to ask. On your LinkedIn, it says Lord Neil Giller. Where has this Lord come from?
Well, bear with me a second. Could you curtsy when you're saying that, please? thank you. It was bought for me by my friends for my 50th birthday. So if those lords can buy themselves a lordship, I've bought myself a lordship.
Love it.
A driving licence and everything. It's brilliant. When you take your driving licence, well, I don't take it out that often, but when you take your driving licence out, they're like, Lord? Yeah. Curtsy whilst you're giving me a ticket. Thank you very much. But there's nothing behind it. I'm not a lord or anything. But that said, I have a 2 metre square plot somewhere in Scotland.
Okay.
Right? I'm thinking of going on holiday there. So if you want to come with, you're going to have to get really,
bit of a small tent. More like a toilet cubicle.
Listen, still my land. Yeah? Simple as that. Lord, remember.
Lord Neil Giller. On, right? Lord Neil Giller.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you, Lady Nikki. Thank you. So if you want a lordship, go and buy it like the rest of them.
That's true. That's very true. No one could ever put lady before my name. I grew up before brothers. There's nothing ladylike about me.
So there's the answer to the lordship.
Fabulous. Mission. Inspire before you expire. Where has that come from?
First of all, I think, and I know it's come out of my mouth, inspire before you expire. The whole one is I aspire to inspire before I expire. Now, say that with a mouthful of fruit pastels. If you're old enough, you'll know exactly what that is.
I can't say it without a mouthful of fruit pastels.
I know, right? So once again, I aspire to inspire before I expire. And we spoke about it before. Do you know what? I'm going to bring something called the ripple effect into it. And for those that don't know about the ripple effect, if you throw a stone into the water, watch where the ripples go. It doesn't just simply go into the water. There's a reaction from that stone going in the water. There's a reaction. And let me sum it up. Let me make it really, really easy about the ripple effect. I go out every single morning walking with the dog. I choose to put a smile on my face. When I see someone walking past me, guess what happens? That smile goes to their face. By me putting a smile on their face, the next person that they meet, if they got a smile, it's that ripple effect. So I'm here to inspire people to aspire. The only problem with that terminology or that saying is I don't know when I'm going to expire.
No.
None of us do. None of us do. So I'm constantly trying to inspire whoever it is I come across, from the road sweeper to a client to anyone that I come. I mean, you can find me when I go shopping for food. I'm always talking to the cashier. Most people just walk past the cashier. I stop and take time to speak to people that are on the street. Yeah, it's not all about giving them what it is they're asking for, money or food. Sometimes, and going back a little bit, I was in Boreham Wood a couple of months ago, and I'd seen this guy sitting there on numerous occasions, and I sat down, and I went, all right, mate, how you doing? He went, you know what? No one's asked me that. I went, I'm going to ask you something else. What's your name? He went, Stephen. No one's ever asked me my name before. Just by asking those two questions of someone that everyone was walking by on a regular daily basis, he felt that someone had taken notice of him.
You made him feel seen. You made him feel human. He felt seen. And do you know what, Neil? That describes you to a T.
What did it cost me, Nikki?
Nothing.
And do you know what? I'll tell you what happened when I walked away from it. Guess what I had on my face?
Smile.
I had a smile on my face, you know? Yeah. There's enough times I don't want to speak to people. To be honest with you, I'm going to say it's really funny. I don't fucking like people, right? But don't tell my clients that, whatever you say, right? But it takes no time just to stop and make a little bit of a difference to someone's day. I love it when people do it to me. Mm-hmm. I love it when people do it to me. So why can't I just have a little smile at someone? Or when you're driving along, we've all been there, like having a little bit of a dance. You look across and someone's looking at you like you're a nutter. Yeah, so what? Come on, smile.
And that describes you. Neil, you've got the biggest heart of gold, but you're also an absolute brilliant coach. What's the common obstacles that your clients have and how have you helped them overcome them?
I think you started it off at the beginning. And my pitch is when I'm asked to stand up and pitch, pop your hands up if you're a business owner and everyone in the room, obviously. Pop your hands up if you've ever got sick and tired of listening to your own bullshit. And every single one of them will put their hands up if they understand what it is. What do? I don't do anything. I'm a holder. So if I give you an idea, I've had two sessions today. I ask my clients to come to the table. It's a one-hour session, 2 one-hour sessions a month. Quite lazy, but don't tell anyone. I ask them to come with three obstacles that are getting in their way. And we beat the shit out of those three obstacles. I'll add a couple of bits and pieces as well. The word here is accountability.
Mm-hmm.
So I hold my clients accountable. The supposition yesterday, one of my clients, I got a 60,000 quote that I haven't followed up. What do you think my reply was? What do you think my reply was?
I can imagine, but I will let you tell me.
There were some real expletives in there. So this morning, all I put on his WhatsApp was, where's the 60 grand?
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, I spoke to a client. Their major problem is they're running at 150 miles an hour. My biggest tip for them was quite simple. Slow down.
Mm-hmm.
Just slow down. This morning, they sent me a LinkedIn post about slowing down, right, that they put out. So I get plenty of horses in the stable. And I'm fortunate enough that I think we're up to 17 or 18 clients now, which for any coaches sitting out there, I know I'm doing all right, ain't I?
Yeah, you are doing all right with that as a coach.
But I have plenty of horses in the stable. I can lead them to the water. I cannot make them drink. But when they do drink, believe me, I celebrate their wins as much as they do.
Mm-hmm.
I love seeing my clients win, Nikki. It's a drug. It's a real drug. When one of my clients phones up, I go, nailed that, got that, done that job, got a new van, got a new client. Just, it's where I need to be. It's where I need to be.
And it clearly brings joy for you. And does that link into your turning your can'ts into cans?
Oh, that's another one of my, so here we go. So my name's Neil Giller. I'm from a company called The Real Neil, where I help my clients turn their can'ts into cans, which means they could live a better life-work balance, not work-life balance. Now, there's a couple of problems with the first part, which is turning your can'ts into cans. If you come from South London, you might hear the first word a little bit differently. That's not my problem, right? But I help my clients turn their can'ts into cans. So as business owners, how many times do we tell ourselves, oh, I can't do that. Oh, I've done it once and I've failed. I'm there to turn around and go, you can do it. How's about succeeding the second time? And if you don't succeed the second time, let's have a go the third time. But we don't succeed the third time. How's about we try something a little bit different?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just that turning your can'ts into cans. When I say it, when people, it actually twigs with them, they're like, oh, that's clever, isn't it? Like, yeah. I made it up all by myself. All by myself. So it's one of my catchphrases, to radiate a drain and life, work, balance. I've got a few of them around.
So come on then, tell me about this radiator drains, because actually I have seen you talk about that. We originally met at a BNI conference. So like yourself, I joined BNI. BNI is Business Networking International, which is a global organisation that is aimed at senior leaders and business owners to build work and do work with and through each other. I actually started my business the day I joined. So I went along for a visit, joined and started my business that day. I had very rapid growth. I remember when I first went into BNI and I did the training at the beginning about, oh, you know, don't expect, you know, it takes time to build confidence, know, like and trust, 6 months time frame to start building. I got my first client in 4 weeks, built it really quickly, became a director consultant myself, launching my own chapter and region after 6 months in business and a member. And of course, that was where I then went to a director consultant conference and met the wonderful Real Neil Giller.
Yeah, I was talking about radiators and drains that
you
day.
Were.
It's quite self-explanatory. And we all know one person, right? We all know one person that when you ask this question, you think to yourself, why did I ask them this question? The question is, how are you? And then they will tell you everything that is wrong with them. And you're sitting there going, oh, please shut up. Oh, please, 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 please be quiet. Oh, why did I ask you that question? I want to be around people that when I ask them how they are, first of all, I want them to be honest with me, okay? So let's put my mental health hat on, first of all. When I ask you how you are, or when I ask anyone how they are, I ask them twice.
Mm-hmm.
Reason being is the first time they're going to give you the bullshit answer that everyone wants to hear. When you get that answer, stop, breathe, and slowly ask them the same question. No, how are you? The second time, they'll tell you exactly how they are. So there's that little caveat about drains and radio. That's not a drain. That's just making sure that someone's okay. I want to surround myself with radiators. And I use the telephone metaphor. You know when the telephone goes and there's a red button or a green button?
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
If people phone you and all you want to do is just push the red button, that says a lot about them. I have a few people that when those buttons come up and it's green, I can't wait to push green because I know that there's going to be fun. We're going to enjoy ourselves. The conversation is going to leave me with a spring in my step. Those are the people that I want to be surrounded with. I want to be surrounded with, let's use a boat metaphor, people that are all rowing in the same direction and not people that are drilling in the corner. If you're a driller, you can fuck off. And the thing is, being who I am, I can smell drains from, and anyone can. Now, our choice is whether we choose to join in with that drain or not. My choice, this is my choice. If I get any drain vibes off of you, I'm walking away. I don't need your drain vibes. I want to be around the green people, the people that you push that green button for. And I've got loads of people that I can push that green button for. Loads of people. Unfortunately, listen, every single time my phone goes and it's you, or there's a WhatsApp and it's you, whatever I'm doing, I'll answer it straight away because I know that there'll be a couple of expletives and we'll have a little laugh along the way, yeah? That's where I need to be. I want to be surrounded by people who have got a can-do and not a can't-do attitude, yeah?
Yeah.
And that's my choice. I just want to reiterate this. It's not just my choice, it's your choice as well. So if you are surrounded by a couple of drains in your life, they'll probably be family or friends. Sorry, I didn't mean that, but oh, bit contentious.
They won't be on my Facebook anymore after your lesson, so don't worry.
So I've got rid of some drains for you.
You did. So where I mentioned about when I heard that presentation, it was game changing for me. It made me sit and reflect on, you know, who do I want in my life? Do I want people that I stress every time I see them on Facebook? Do I want to be pressing those red buttons? And it actually made me remove people that drained me. So, you know, I did have a big Facebook cull. I removed all those people that I just couldn't bear seeing, some of their negative posts, some of their political posts, some of their very strong opinions around equality and diversity, people that had opinions about me and my choice in life. Instead of going back into a senior HR role within an internal company, what was I thinking going into business? And it quickly made me realise who were the people I wanted around me, who made me shine, who made me glass half full, and who made me glass half empty. And I chose to remove some of those glass half empty from my people a long time ago from my life.
The word you used there was choose.
Mm-hmm.
So we can choose to have those people in our lives or not. If they're draining, get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of them. And the best way to get rid of them is walk away.
Yeah.
You don't need an argument. You don't need to tell them you're walking away. You just stop calling them. You stop participating. You stop going to the places that they are. You just stop being around them. Do you know what the thing is with drains? They don't realise that you've walked away because they're too busy draining anyone and everyone else.
And you don't have to unfriend them on Facebook and make it obvious. You just unfollow them. Same as on LinkedIn. You just unfollow. You don't need to.
You could do the real in life as well. Unfollow people. Couldn't it? Could you imagine if there was a button every single time you came across somebody, you just pushed them on the forehead, unfollow.
I should have known you'd come out with that.
Come on, Elon Musk, sort that one out, you twat. Come on, sorry. Sorry.
We certainly have got the real Neil today, haven't we? Neil, going back to B&I, you have been a managing area director with B&I for a long time. You inspire so many business owners, and being in business is not for everyone. It's tough. it is tough in business. And going back to the drains and radiators, not everyone will always agree with us going into business. It's a choice that they don't think we should be making. We should go into a normal job. We should have regular income. But you help other business owners that are starting out, helping them to grow. And you are a massive advocate of being on the business journey. You're very experienced in it. So tell us, what is a managing area for BNI, and why should people who are starting up in business consider BNI, or people that are growing or have certain sectors or models? What is BNI and what is an area director?
Okay, a couple of things there. First of all, I was only a managing director for about 18 months looking after Nottingham and Lincoln. I'm now a director consultant, which means that I look after now going up to two chapters. So I want to start off by turning around and using an Americanism. Your network is your net worth.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about the people that you surrounded yourself with a couple of minutes ago. It's exactly the same in business. And you were also talking about it as well, go and get a normal job at a normal wage. I don't know what that is. I've never, only when I was 16, 17 years old, did I pull a wage in every single month. Okay? So for me, if you're not networking, I mean, check this out. Is anyone listening to this that runs a business? Do you know where your next best client's coming from? The answer to the question is no, you don't. So whether you like it or not, when you run your own business, you have no choice but to network.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, the word work is in network. So you can't just turn up like some people do. We've got hunters and farmers. So the hunters will walk in and they'll have loads of cards. If cards still exist these days.
I still see some.
I know, right? Very 1990s.
Oh, no. QR code on LinkedIn now, darling.
You know it. Of course, that's it, right? So all they're doing is just throwing cards at people. What I try and do is I try to help. I'm going to call them my clients. Although they pay BNI, they're my clients, and I treat them like my clients. I teach my clients that you've got to be known, liked, and trusted. And how do you get known? Being there, showing up, doing what you say you're going to do. Known as a four, known, liked. I am who I am. Either you like me or you don't like me, okay? But the last one is trusted. Do what you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do it. Because the minute you don't, you've kind of lost a little bit of your reputation with me. The other three letters that we use in networking as well, which sums it up. So the KLT, Know, Like, Trust, is VCP. Be visible. If you're visible, be credible. If you can put V and C together at the end of it, the equation comes to profitability, Nikki.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're visible and credible, you'll end up profitable. And let me just whack something else in here as well. It ain't going to happen overnight, people.
Nope.
Nikki and I have just had a conversation. We've known each other for 9-10 years. We've chosen to network and carry on networking. We were networking before. We'll network after that. And whether we like it or not, even if we don't go to networking dues, we're networking every single day when we go and buy a cup of coffee, driving, mm-hmm. speaking to the person that we're walking past. A conversation not had will cost you a fortune. It's something else that I help BNI's clients, my clients with. So for me, again, going back to it, I said it to you before, me seeing one of my BNI kids doing well and then phoning me up going, do you know what? Didn't think this BNI was all that, but guess what? I'm doing all right out of it. Why are you doing well out of it? Because I'm visible, I'm credible, and I'm being profitable. I've not made myself known, liked, and trusted. So I hope that those six little letters have helped you. I hope that's answered. Again, love what I do. If you don't love what you do, it's got to come across as being real. Hasten to add real, Neil. If you haven't got that, people smell it, Nikki. They really, really do. There are no ulterior motives here other than I want to see you win. I will clap you until I get there and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. And BNI, I mean, I'm not a member anymore. I reached a point where I just couldn't fit everything in anymore, but I'm a huge advocate of it. I was extremely successful in it. It built my business. I had between 70 and 90% year-on-year growth in the 5 years I was a member. I won multiple awards. I loved it. I'm a big advocate for it. And as you know, where I've gone territory license, I do talk to licensees and new HR consultants about go along and visit, It's not for everyone, but it's always right for someone.
Absolutely.
And it will help you build your business. And it's like being in a room full of people that are your marketers. Do a good job for them and they will tell everyone else. And even now, my whole business has been built on the referrals that I learned in my time in BNI and everything I learned about business development, sales, know, like, trust, visible, credible, profitable. It all sticks with me. And it absolutely, you know, it's sometimes it's not always right for everyone. It depends on what area of HR they want to do. On the direction that I went, it worked for me. And I will always be privileged for what I learned from you and the other people that I surrounded myself with during that time. And obviously, always recommend it.
Networking is not for everyone. I will guarantee you one thing, though, it's for every business.
Mm-hmm.
Even the corporates, we don't network. Of course you do. What was that lunch that you took the client out to? Or what was the do that you invited them to? Oh, that's not networking. Well, it bloody is.
It is.
So there's networking on different levels. We've all got to network. We've all got to get people knowing who we are. That's why we're on Facebook. That's why we're on TikTok. That's why we're on Instagram. We want people to know who we are and what we do.
Mm-hmm.
I get a lot of business via social media. So from people that have like, I love your stuff. Can I have a conversation about what else you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is that one of the reasons I do it? I'm a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the answer is?
Yeah, absolutely. And do you know what? Networking, everyone thinks of formalised networking in a big room. It's not. Like you said, it's a coffee. It's a lunch. It's making a connection with someone. I think one of the biggest dangers of networking, and I've spoken to people about this quite often, and I see this with new HR consultants, and I advise them against it. They fill their diary with localised networking events, but actually, you need to look at all of them. You need to make sure they're the right ones for you to attend. And you need to build time into your diary to follow up with the people you have met. There is no point in going to these events and filling your diary with networking if you are not going to follow up with the people you have met.
F you. Follow up. There you go.
A whole new F you for you. Be... Oof, I wondered what was coming there.
Let me just give another little tip as well. Stop having meetings for meeting's sake, people.
Mm-hmm.
I speak to a lot of people. Oh, I've had 15 one-to-ones this week. Yeah, excellent. How long have you wasted? What do you mean? Well, what has come to fruition because of them? I'll tell you what, how's about instead of having 15, have 3, right? Have an agenda, make them half an hour long, right? And everyone's like, oh, what, you can get that? Yeah, half an hour. I can find someone business within 10 minutes. I don't need an hour. I don't want to waste your time, but I don't want to waste my time. So one lesson from this. You do need to make sure that you're meeting people, but spread yourself thinly. Stop having meetings for meeting's sake, people. It's boring. It's tedious. It's 1980s. Enough.
Yeah.
Done.
No, I totally agree. I've got one final thing to cover off with you, Neil, and this is something that's quite close to my heart as well. You're a believer that formal education and exam results don't necessarily drive where you will end up or the success that you will have. Now, you know I am very similar to you. I flunked out of school for nicking off 40% attendance in my last year. It's something I often talk about. But what you achieve in school, and I spoke about it recently at a school for any of the students that were worrying about their exams, on you can all reach where you want to go. You've always got a goal and a journey, getting A from B. It just means you've got to take a different path or a different route to get there. And I think, like you, education has its place, especially in certain careers. But I'm a huge advocate for apprenticeships, T-levels, work experience, work placements. And I often talk about this when I recruit for my own business. Yes, there is a level of knowledge that my team need to have, but I always look at motivation, drive, the love for HR, the behaviours that you can't teach someone. You can teach anyone anything, but you know, you can't teach attitude, you can't teach motivation, you can't teach drive. So where has that come from for you? Because for me, mine was due to my experience in school where I got bored, come out with the results, but I've still reached where I want to go, but I've had to take a longer journey.
I didn't want to be there, Nikki. I didn't want to be there. You know, and if we go back to the time, I mean, I say to people now, I was thrown out of school when I was 15 years old. are just 15 years old. You can't, they can't do that now. The education system has not changed in the time that we went to school.
No. It's still got a long way to go.
It's got a, it's got longer, if I'm being honest with you. It's an absolute disgrace. And I feel very, very sorry for the custodians. Sorry, the teachers. I was right the first time. I feel very, very sorry for the custodians of the education system. It's broken. I'm very similar to you. One of the things that I do bi-monthly is I go into local schools. And I was in one last week. I have to tell this story. And this proves what the education system is all about. 15 years old, 15, 16. First of all, this boy walked in. He was the first in. Very, very smart, very dapper. Walked up to me, put his hand out. He went, "All right, Mr. Giller, I'm really looking forward to hearing you." And I looked at him and I was like, "Yeah, the way you walked in there. What's your name?" "Right, you've got a first name." "Mm-hmm." "And so do I. My name's Neil." "All right, Mr. Giller." No. "My name's Neil." And it's only when I go in and do this once every few months that I know how broken the system is. And I'm not blaming the teachers here.
And I'm with you on that. I mean, I'm a school governor, and I have to say, the governance board, the academy that I am a governor for, the teachers are absolutely fantastic. It's the system. It's not the people. I see the people out there doing their best. It's the system. It isn't moving as quick as the teachers are able to move. And the teachers are absolutely brilliant. And I will never, ever take that away from the school and the teachers and the governors I surround myself with. Huge advocate for them. I've been a school governor for 5 years. But the system is not moving as quick as the world needs it to.
Do these kids come out and know how to pay a mortgage? Do they come out and know how to budget? Do they know how to cook? Do they know about national insurance, VAT, mm-hmm. tax? Do they know about PAYE? Are they aware of you can start your own business? Do they know where to start? No, they don't.
There's still so much.
And it's... Why has it not moved on? Why has it not moved on? And what I love to see is walking into these schools. I mean, we got to the end of the conversation and I'd gone over. So it was about 4:05 and I'd profusely apologise because there was a good conversation going on. So we'd finished up at about 4:05. All the kids got up and they were excused. So this one kid, a couple of his friends and a girl and her friend came and stood. And this boy asked me a question. He went, "Neil, I'm thinking of looking into blockchaining." At which point, I'm like, a 15, 16-year-old kid. I mean, I'm like, inside, I'm like, "Go on." I'm like, "Yeah, go on, go on." He said, "Give me one tip. What's standing in my way?" And I looked round at the teacher and I went, "Miss." I went, "Yeah." I went, "Are we finished school now?" She went, "Yeah." I went, "Right, take your phones out, you lot. Because I'm going to tell you what's stopping you. Switch your camera on. Take a picture of yourself." Went, "I like that, Neil. I've got it. It's mm-hmm. me, isn't it?" And I think that just goes back full circle. The only people standing in our way are us. That's the only people standing in our way. I'm not going to wait for someone to tell me I can or can't do whatever it is. So I'm not going to blame the custodians of the education. Exactly the same as I won't blame the custodians of the NHS, the angels that work in that organisation, right? And the angels that work in the education system as well. I've got a very good friend of mine who's a head teacher for a secondary school. Bless. It's a broken system. And until someone who is uneducated, turns around and their idea is accepted, it won't change, Nikki. It's not going to change. So the education has got to come down for our children, has got to come down to when they go home. So what are you teaching your beautiful boy that working, putting money in the bank, grafting, what are you teaching your boy? Both of my girls are employed, beautifully employed with great jobs. Why? Because that was instilled from me and their mother.
And I love that. And I mean, you know, my daughter, she's a tattoo artist. She went to uni, she had to drop out because she fell pregnant with Grayson. she then lasted less than a week in my business. And I remember saying to her, what do you want to do? And she was like, I want to be a tattoo artist and start my own business. Had I never gone into business 9 years ago, I don't think my daughter would ever have thought of that. She'd gone into mainstream work. And we do, we have to role model and be that role model and that person for people, for them to aspire to be that. And you do that in schools, I do that in schools. We both talk publicly about it.
If there are any business people out there wondering how we got into schools or how we go and speak into schools, you know, there's a simple quote here. If you don't ask, you don't get. There's plenty of organisations out there. If you want to get in touch with me or you want to get in touch with Nikki, I'm pretty damn sure that this education system needs more of us in the system than out of the system. And if you think that it costs your time, you're damn right it does. I don't get paid for it. Nikki, I'm sure you don't get paid for it, right? But I hope my clients aren't listening. I absolutely love, with a hearty passion, doing it. I walk out of there and I'm like, made a difference, Mr. G. Fantastic. And I'm sure that you've got the same as well, Nikki.
Yeah, I have. And I, you know, I recently spoke at the school that, interestingly, I got an email for this morning confirming my son is now going to be joining that school in September. Champion.
He don't want you going in and talking.
No, he won't. I won't go in and talk now he's there. But I have no doubt they're probably going to ask me to be a governor once he goes in there. I know that's probably on the books. My old school that I went to in Hartlepool has asked me to go in and do a talk to the students. And I'm actually talking at one of my clients, which is a charity supporting youth, this week. They're individuals and neurodiverse, and I've been asked to go in and talk to them to help them understand what their rights are, how do they encourage the workplace, how do they find jobs, you know, how can we inspire workplaces to employ some of these individuals who are neurodiverse and enable them to go into the business in the right way with the right boundaries, understanding what a workplace adjustment is, what they're responsible for and what the workplace is responsible for. And that's the conversation I'm going to have this week, so that when they do find a job, they go into it in the right way and encourage their employee to know that they can thrive and they're not going to be a burden, which is often some of the fears I get asked to talk to them about. So, you know, we're both very, very passionate about these things, and we don't get paid for it. We do it because we love it. We've been there ourselves and it runs in us.
There's nothing like it. You'll appreciate this comment, that when you're sitting there, all of a sudden you look at a kid and the light bulb just goes ping and you're like, yeah. Finishing it off, we're all just walking each other home, Nikki.
We're all just walking each other home, Neil. Neil, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you as always. So, how can people follow you? You touched on it at the beginning. Where do they go and how do they reach you?
Okay, so LinkedIn is Lord Neil Giller, and you curtsy before you put that in the taskbar. everywhere else, I'm not hiding from anyone. I don't have to hide from anyone. Neil Giller, wherever it is, Instagram, TikTok and Facebook and anywhere else, I'm not hiding. I want people to come and find me. I want people to meet Neil Giller and then go and look for Neil Giller, and he's there. So Neil Giller across the board.
And your website?
Oh, thanks for asking. Oh, I thought you weren't going to ask. therealneil.uk.
Neil, it has been my absolute pleasure and privilege, as I said, with you today. For those looking for a bit of daily humour, then you've got to follow Neil on Facebook if you're looking for the real humour. Thank you, Neil.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. And you, Nikki. Thank you. Keep shining, my lovely.
Thanks for listening to the HR Business Blueprint podcast. For any information on what we've covered in this episode, head over to the show notes. And make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss out on any future episodes. Thanks for listening.